We get comfortable and say, I got it all. Oh, I know what I want to read before I get started. I want to read this by Joel Osteen. This is it. It says, this is a Today's Word somebody sent me, and it says, God desires that you be blessed and prosperous. He desires that you be so blessed that you can turn around and be a blessing everywhere you go. He wants you to have so much peace, so much joy, so much victory that when other people get around you, it spills over into them. In the book of Psalms, David says, my cup runneth over. He was overflowing with anointing, the tangible, effective power of God. Don't let yourself have a barely get-by mentality. And this is what God's been showing me. Jesus came so that you can live an abundant life. That means an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of health, and an abundance of finances. You may not see it right now, and maybe you haven't experienced it in the past, but don't get complacent with just settling for where you are. Get a vision of your future. Get a vision for increase. Get a vision for abundance. God delights to see you prosperous and successful. When you choose to think God's thoughts and choose God's way, you'll see that increase in victory in every area of your life. And I thought here, you know, he's not exactly where we are, but he is definitely taking people out of the bondage of religion into freedom. I admire that man. I think he speaks beautifully, and you know, sometimes they call him not instead of a preacher, they want to say he's he's an encourager, but motivational speaker. But what are we supposed to be but a motivational speaker? We've been an unmotivational speaker in the past. We've just put people down. But anyway, I want to ask you today, I want to say a statement first. What's the matter, Mark? Go ahead. Okay. Imagination is the redemptive power of the world. Now, do you agree with me or not? Imagination is the redemptive power of the world. I read that this week, and I begin to think on it. And I begin to have all the Bible scriptures. I don't know about you, but when I hear something, I have a barometer to go by, and it's Bible. Because I know that Bible so well, and I know those scriptures so well. And so many times I'll read a book, and I'll have all these scriptures go bing, bing, bing in my head. And I agree with that. Because it's the imagination that got us in the spot that we're in today. It's the vain imagination that has created the realities that you and I are living in the world. So what's going to be the solution? The imagination of God. And I'm going to talk about that. What did God use to create?
Word, right?
But God used an invisible realm that you cannot see, and it created everything that has manifested in this realm. Is that correct? He brought things out of invisible realm, and he brought them in this realm as a creation. And see, that's where we are. And I want to prove that to you. Let's go to Hebrews 11:3. Let's go to Hebrews 11:3, because I want to prove that to you, that is just what the Bible says. Because, see, we think his word, but where did the word come from? The word came from a consciousness, didn't it? It came from, it says, from the mouth, the abundance of the heart speaks. So it came from inside. So listen to what it says in Hebrews 11:3, and we know this is the faith chapter. So what does faith mean? It means belief. This is people that could believe. This is people that could believe beyond what they saw with their eyes, because that's what it says faith is. So look what it says in 3, but we're going to get to that. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made through the things which do appear. What does that mean? Everything came from an unseen realm, including you. Everything came from spirit, because God is spirit, and that is the unseen realm. So when God was creating fish and trees and oceans and moons and suns, what did he use to create those things? Spirit, too. Spirit is that unseen realm. God is spirit. And it came out of him. Everything has the life of God, just in different lower energies or whatever. Because it says everything, it says the world was framed by the word of God, by the invisible realm, by the things that weren't seen. So even the matter that we see that came, you know, energy cannot be, it can't be destroyed. You know that. It can only continue to change forms. That's why you are energy. You will never, you will maybe change forms, go into, you know, into God or whatever, but you are a divine being. You are an eternal being. Isn't that a wonderful concept? When you know you had no beginning and you had no, are going to have no ending, that you always were, because that really is the truth of it. So God created, all life is just in lower forms. What came out of God's imagination? What is the imagination of God? Let me ask it to you that way. And God saw everything he created and it was good. Very good. So where did all this bad stuff come from that we perceive as bad? It didn't, that's exactly right. It came from a mind separated from God. I did a CD years ago called The Vain Imagination when I just began to see all of those things, but I'm going to talk about it today. So what caused the maladies we see and the diseases and the hurricanes and all that is the mind of man. Let's go to Genesis 6 and verse 5. I'll show you something. Six and verse five, it says this, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that, listen to this, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And what did he say at the Tower of Babel? He said, anything you can imagine will not be restrained from you. Do you know you're creating all the time? You're either unconsciously creating or you are consciously creating. See, God consciously created from that mind, that oneness of mind. And what we're trying to do is grow up into that mind of God, which is all good, all perfect, all complete, all harmony, all peace, all love, and create from that. Because if we have things in our life that aren't in perfect harmony, what mind are they coming from? A mind that is still thinking from a lower paradigm, a mind that is still separated from the mind of God. Imagination was separated from God. And the answer is an imagination with redemptive power is what's going to change all of the earth. What did Jesus Christ come back for? He said, I've come to show you the Father. Did he want to show the Father's physical form? Did he want to show the Father's color of hair? I mean, what did he come back to reveal? The nature, the mind of God. You say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I say forgive your neighbors. Love those that deceitfully use you. If they ask for your coat, give them give them something else also. I've come to reveal the true way that the mind of God works, because you have had a false concept and precept for all these thousands of years. You think when somebody commits adultery, you should go in and judge them and stone them. You think when a child does this, you should, you know, spank them and beat them and all of those things. But I'm going to show you the peaceful way. I'm going to show you the true way that the mind of God works. Does God hold himself, you know, this is when I did that CD, Who Do You Say God Is? Does God hold himself to a lesser degree of integrity than he holds us to? When he says, love your enemies, but we say God's going to destroy his enemies, don't we? We say we're waiting for the hammer to come down on planet Earth because we've been so bad. But God is not like that. So the answer to all the world's problems is a redemptive imagination that begins to image in a different way. Because what is an imagination? It's an image nation. You have the ability to imagine things. You know, whatever you ponder, whatever you think on is going to manifest. And the Bible says that. We know that. It says, as a man thinketh, so is he. But the image of God is love and perfection. So why are we here? Why are we on planet Earth? You know, that's been a question of mine. Why are we here? Well, Genesis tells us. We are to take dominion and authority, aren't we? We're to take a dominion and authority over the fish and the fowls of the air, which I'm going to get to. And I don't believe that has to be the birds, that we're going to have control over the birds. But we're learning to image God, aren't we? We're learning to think as God and have the character of God, to bring our thoughts in line with truth to the mind of God, to not live by what we see with our eyes, but to begin to live by this higher realm of truth. And everything in your life challenges you. Everything in your life challenges you to come right down into this lower thing. But Jesus Christ, he was able to overcome what you see with your eyes, and that's why we're here. Matthew 5:48 says this, Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfect where? Perfect because I dress perfect? Because I kiss you when you come in and hug you and all of that stuff? In our consciousness. See, we have a command. Be perfect. And I used to think it was acting perfect. You know, I would tell you how I'd line my little kids up, you know, and spank them all before I took them to church so they behave, you know, and say, you know, you do this. Because I thought, I want to be perfect like God is perfect. You know, I have this little perfect little family. But that's not what it was. How many of you argue with your husband before you get to church and you get out of the car and put your precious Jesus face on you? Here we are, you know, with the righteous. But that's not what, we are commanded to be perfect. In our thinking, in our mind, in our consciousness. That's what you're on planet Earth. Be you therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. And where is heaven? It's up here in your mind. In the power to see the reality when you're facing wrong conditions. When you're going to a doctor and he's telling you something. When you're looking at your checkbook. That's where our presses come. I've said this physical realm is tools. We can't just dismiss that we're in this realm and it's all an illusion, and I read that every day. And I agree, I know we're in the dream, but we're awakening from that dream, but I think that we were put in this lower paradigm just like the prodigal son was. He came to this lower, he was lowered down in this realm to go spend all his goods and go do all the things he wanted just to come back and say, in the depth of my memory, I remember home. In the pit of my who I am, I remember my Father has everything. And if I can get back home, I can have all that the Father has. And what did the Father say to him? Everything I've ever had was yours. He didn't say, why'd you go out and spoil all your goods? Now, before you can come back, you have to do this and that and the other. He never said that. He said, he opened his arms and he said, everything I've ever had was yours. You just didn't know it. You just didn't know it. And that's exactly where we are today. We just don't fully comprehend, or we have these paradigms and belief systems that have been embedded within us. And what we're doing, you and I, in this time, we're shaking them off. We're becoming to see that we're infinite and limitless. But you know, it's a big leap. That is a huge leap from where we were to where we're going. Listen, Psalms 23 says this. Only good and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. That doesn't talk about, you know, God does not have a mind of duality, of good and bad. You know where the only place good and bad is? In your mind. We've eaten of that tree of the good and evil. And the minute we ate that tree, death came into our realm. Death came into our finances. Death came into our health. Death came into our relationships. Death came because it's a realm of duality, but it's getting out of that realm and thinking from that oneness. You see, one is everything. And isn't it amazing where that zero, think of zero before we even get into one. There's no stopping in that zero. I love that. That circle of God, so beautiful. Can we get the concept of only good? Yes. See, that's our challenge. Whatever's facing you, can you get the concept of only good? We've experienced good and evil. You know why? Because we believed it. We ate. Remember when it said we bit into a lie? And what does it say in Genesis? The minute you eat of that duality, you're going to have death. Well, we bit into a lie, girls and boys, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, friends and scholars. We bit into a lie. And we've been living from what we ate. Because what you ate in the physical produces your body. Jesus came to remove those fallen conditions, to overcome a vain imagination. That's exactly what he came for. And he began to image a new man in his mind. And we can do that because why can't we do that? Because our faith is weak. And I'm going to go into faith. What is faith? Belief. Remember when he said to them, they said, why can't we cast out that demon? He said, you have little faith. Your belief system is just not aligning with the mind of God. He says, this one takes prayer and fasting, which is prayer is aligning yourself with the mind of God. And fasting is closing your mouth to wrong situations and not spouting them out. That's exactly what fasting is. It means to close the mouth. So Hebrews 1, let's go there. Hebrews 1, 1 again. We're going to get back to faith. Now, Hebrews is in my Bible this morning. There it is. Hebrews 1:1 says this. No, excuse me, 11:1. 11:1 says this. Now, faith is the substance of things. Can you believe that? Faith is a substance. It's a substance. It's a belief system. It's faith. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Belief to have the power to tap into that unseen realm, that realm of spirit, like Pam's song. I love Pam's new song, that you can tap into that unseen realm of what you desire, what is all good, harmony, peace, unity, and all that. Tap into that unseen realm and bring it into this realm of manifestation. Faith is a substance, and the substance is your belief system. Isn't that incredible? Faith is a substance. It says it right there. I love it. Faith is a substance to change your reality. It's a substance that can change your reality. Let's read verse 2 here. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And listen to what it says. Through faith we understand that the words were framed, that the worlds were framed, just like I read this before, by the word. What is the word? In John 1 it says, and the word was with God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God, and through the word all things were made. Yeah. Who's the word? You know what that word means, don't you? It's the logos, but when you look up the logos, it means the divine expression. In the beginning was the divine expression, and Jesus Christ was that divine expression. So in the beginning was the divine expression. And guess who you are? The divine expression of the infinite, limitless God. And just as we are learning to take things out of this unseen realm of spirit, there's a people that are going to worship him in spirit and in truth that are able to get into that unseen realm. See, we're in school. We're learning. Your life is a learning experience for you to be fully Christed, fully God, for you to tap into that unseen realm. What did Jesus do when he fed people? When he did all those things, he tapped into that unseen realm, and he had the ability to bring it from that unseen realm of spirit, manifested in this realm of substance. Yeah. Yeah. Don't you love it? Yeah. That's you are. You're those people that are called to tap into the unseen realm. Don't you have that feeling? You know there's something greater. We've been those prodigal sons, but in us, we want to go home. And that's exactly where we're on the road to in this time to go home. In verse 3, I read that. Then verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You got to have it too. You got to have that testimony. I am pleasing to God. You know what righteousness is? The mind of God. It's not doing good acts, not giving to the poor, not, you know, selling your clothes and living in poverty and all of these things, serving the church. And it's the mind of God. When you know you are a righteous man, you have that right imagery in your mind. So profound. In verse 6 it says, but without faith, without a belief system that is in line with the mind of God, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe he is. Believe he is what? God. You know what you have to believe? You have to believe you're God. I used to think I had to believe in this God out there so that I could, you know, if I believe that he's out there somewhere and I can contact him, you know, I'm going to get all these good things. But now I know that if I come to God, I got to believe that he is in me and I am one with him and that I am God. Because you can't please God in any other way other than believe that he is you and you are him, that we may be made perfect in oneness. Love it. Let me read the end of this. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does that mean? That means if you know you are God, you can bring those substances out and enhance your life and be the rewarder. Those ones that bring those things out into this manifested realm. You know, this is big. And we keep saying it in all these different ways to understand you are powerful. You are so powerful. You know what? All of creation is behind us. All of creation is lifting us. All of creation is encouraging us. Can't you feel it around you? I mean, I'm not even going to tell you some of the things that have happened to me in the past 2 weeks. I want you to stay. Righteousness does not come by actions. It comes by belief. This is the faith chapter. And this is what they believed they could do. Before it rained, Noah built an ark. See, it's all of these things before anything happened. They saw something in an invisible realm that made them bring something into manifestation in this realm. When God spoke, let there be light, what was that? It was a declaration, wasn't it? He said, let there be light. And his word, which came out of the consciousness of righteousness, was obeyed by the elements. Ever think about that? He said, let there be light. That word went out, and the elements did what God said and brought light back into this realm. But if God didn't believe it, there would be no light. God could only create what he believes, and so can you. You can only create. How much can you manifest in your life? As much as you believe for. You're not going to manifest one more thing than what you believe for. You know, we come down, say, poverty. We come down from generations and generations of poverty. We never believe that we can get out of that. You know, because we have that, those precepts, those concepts that are just continually passed on to us. Or sickness, or, you know, lack of jobs, not being able to get a job. We come from a family that never can get jobs, never keep jobs. And what happens, it's just perpetuated, you know. But it's not, it's the concepts and precepts that are continually left down. So you are the image or the imagination of God, and you have no limits to what you can create. No limits. God is limitless. Do you have a limit? God is infinite. Do you have anything that stops you? I just love it. So his word came by out of him. Out of the invisible, it came. God said, let there be light. But first, you know, it had to be in his imagination, in his consciousness. And then it came out of his mouth. Here's really a way to do it. You have to see it first. Then you speak it. And then it comes into this. And then the elements get it. And they manifest it in this visible realm. There's creation, ladies and gentlemen. There's creation. That's exactly how God did it. Let's go to Matthew 5:16. I wanted to see if I had about those fish, and because I wanted to talk about that. I wrote two things this morning. I want to tell you about those. I'm going to tell you about them anyway. I don't think I have them in this notes, but I want to go to Matthew 5:16 right now. Matthew 5:16 says this. Let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How do you glorify your Father? Bringing forth light. What did God bring forth? Light. What is that light? Illumination of the Godhead. You know, in the beginning when he said, let there be light, that was you. Because there was no sun came out that day. No moon came out that day. No stars came out that day. So what was that light? There's a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That was all of you, all of humanity. He said, out of me is coming the light of the world, you. Yes. Let your light, your godliness so shine, your power so shine that you glorify your Father in heaven. This is big, esoteric, huge stuff that we're learning and talking about here. I mean, this is not something that you could go anywhere and talk about. And I want to say something. What you were created for is in Genesis 1. Remember when it says we are to have dominion and authority over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth? Those are not the animals. The fowls of the air are those foul thoughts that you have to have take authority and power over. Those fish of the sea are those lower paradigms that are under us, that keep us, you know, low. The cattle is the beast mentality. You know, that beast mentality that keeps us think we're separated and we're less than and we're not worthy. And then everything that creepeth upon the earth is those low paradigms. God wasn't talking about animals. God was talking about you and the belief systems and the paradigms and the consciousness that you have, that you have the power to take authority and dominion, and you were created for it. Because yes. He said, let me create man in my image. And then they're going to take authority and power over all the lower dominions. Yeah. And what did Jesus Christ do? He came and took dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. He kept bringing fish into everything, which is such a picture, and everything that creepeth, and he walked as God. He said, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in me bodily. See, such power, such revelation in this book if we can just grab a hold of it and see it from that higher paradigm. So, what did I just read? Let's see. So we have that glory when we let our light shine, when we let that light illumination or manifest, we are either consciously, I said this earlier, you are always creating. Right at this moment you're creating. Because your thoughts, where are they? Are they in a seen realm or an unseen realm? Where did God create this world and all the things? Out of an unseen realm. This is your most holy place. Ever think about the three sections of the tabernacle? The lower paradigms where all the people were. Then the little bit higher paradigms where the holy place was. And then there's the full ascension. That's why we talk about the third ascension. That full ascension where God and the high priest was one, where there was nothing but the mind of God. That's where mankind has been evolving for the last 2,000 years. We've gone through that outer court where we thought in, oh, totally low paradigms. You know, poverty. And think of how mankind lives to how we lived hundreds of years ago. I mean, all of our kids are educated now. You know, all of our kids have money in their pockets. All of our kids are driving cars. Remember when they wanted to put a chicken in every pot? I mean, we're far past that. We are evolving and evolving. The humanity as a whole is evolving to that consciousness of God, but we're on that cutting edge because we're seeing, we're learning how to tap into that unseen realm and bring those things out of that unseen realm and release them into this realm. But here's your unseen realm. Yep. Here's where you're creating is right up here. Right now you're creating. So are you consciously creating? Because, you know, we work in the subconscious about 95% of the time. That's why Christ said, wake up. We have got to begin to consciously create, and I think there's some things in the Bible that help us do that. So why do we create in limitation and weakness? Because it's our belief system. That's where we have been. You know, there's two laws. There's the law of sin and death, and sin is this, missing the mark, right? But what does that mean? Yeah, it means not thinking from the mind of God. Sin is not thinking from the mind of God. So if you're still thinking lower paradigms, I can't afford it, can't do this, that's not possible for me. Those are sins. Sins are not actions. Sins is the inner mind thinking from that lower paradigm. So there's only two laws. The law of sin, and it's thinking anything less than absolute perfection in your mind, and it's a belief in something less than all love, all power, all authority, all dominion. Anything you think that's less than that, it's sin. Isn't that incredible? No, Pam, there's no punishment. I mean, I want you to know there is no punishment. And we know that. We are raising out of that. But anyway, sin is a false belief. There's no right or wrong except in the mind of God. And Matthew, let me read Matthew 5:25. It says this, agree with your adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Boy, is this a big one. I used to think when I got in a fight with somebody, I'd have to agree with him real quick. But you know who my adversary is? Me. That's my adversary. I have to agree with a wrong thought quickly. When I have that wrong thought, and agree means to awaken to it, to realize that I am thinking from a wrong consciousness, and I begin to agree, yep, that's a wrong thought. This morning I was driving my car, you know, I'm so sweet and so precious, I'm driving my car here, and I start thinking about this person. And I was thinking about this person, and I thought, now, you know, if they knew this, if they really knew this, this would be happening in there. And then I said, oh boy. That's a wrong thought. That's going to come right back and judge me. I said, that person is doing so beautifully. I tell you, I admire that person. That person is an inspiration in my life. I thought, that's what I want to come back to me. But you see, you agree. You recognize it. Your adversary is a corrupt thought. It's something that is not true. It's something that's trying to pull you down back into this realm. And how many of us have that? I can't do that. That's your adversary. I can't afford it. I feel hot. I'm getting sick. I'm going to get the flu. I'm going to be in bed. I'm going to miss work for 2 weeks. What happens? I'm going to show you. This is the whole paradigm of how it just begins to unroll. While you're in the way. Now, so look what it says. Let's read this again. It says, verily I say unto you, let me see, where was I? Verse 25. Agree with your adversary quickly while they're in the way. What's the way? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. While you're in the mind of God, when you recognize that mind of God and you see those thoughts coming in, you agree, you recognize, say, this isn't, I can't do that. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to find anybody that loves me. I agree with that. Say, you know what? This is a wrong thought, because look what happens. Least at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge. Well, when you keep thinking that, guess what happens? You're delivered to the judge. The judge tells you that your judgment of the situation delivers you to the officer. So you go to the judge, and you're the judge, and you start saying, I just will never do it. I'll never have enough money to do it. I'll no do that. You have the thought. You can either recognize the thought, and how are we supposed to do it? We consume it by the fire of God. Remember the tares and the wheat, which I'm going to go into one day. I talk on it slightly, but it says you take those tares and you throw them into the fire. That is the mind of God, the consuming mind of God. So you have that thought, and you can either immediately throw it into the fire and let the fire of God, the thought of God, consume that wrong thought, or you take it to the judge and you begin bringing judgment on it. I'm going to be sick for 2 weeks. I'm going to, probably lose my job. You know, I'm going to never be able to go shopping and get those shoes she has. I'm never going to be able to do this. I'm never going to be able to go to Europe, or to do all those things. Or you can consume it, and then look what happens with the judge. See, it delivers you to the judge, and the judge delivers you to the officer, and then thou art cast in prison. That's exactly what happens. You get into bondage. Yeah. Isn't that the way? Isn't that our thinking system right there in the Bible? First, you judge it, and then the officer comes and say, go with me. You're going to lose your job. You're going to be sick for 2 weeks. You're never going to go to Europe. You're not going to have a thing in your life. You're never going to have anybody that loves you. And where are you? In a bondage of a belief system. Your own belief system. And you have created it. Can you see that? This Bible is not about physical things. This Bible is inside of you. Chew it up and swallow it. It's all about you. This Bible is about two ways of thinking. You can either think from the mind of God, or you can think from a mind which is separated. And this is how it goes. See, if you say, I can't afford it, I'm poor, I'm limited, I have the flu, guess what's going to come your way? It's exactly what's going to come your way. You manifest lack, bondage, you manifest flu, all controlled by your belief system. And I went through that whole thing where I went with and saw that biologist, which told us your belief system triggers every cell in your body. Every one of your 4 billion cells has a receptor and a transmitter. And the way that the receptor is received is by an energy from a belief system that transmits to your cells. Every cell is a life unto itself. It has a respiratory system, a heart, everything you are, your cells have. So this cell, your belief systems go to this cell and talks to this cell, and that cell then talks to all the other cells, and whatever your belief system, you begin to manage on earth as it is in heaven. Mind over matter. Isn't it amazing? On earth as it is in heaven. That is exactly what we're learning in verse 26. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Until you encounter the cost of wrong thinking, you're not going to come out. See what we're learning right down here? We're learning that our lives are what we've created, and we do pay the cost in this physical realm. Because we are divine beings, not in a spiritual or eternal sense. But if we think we're poor, we encounter poorness. If we think we're weak, we encounter weakness. It's all about changing a mindset. It's all about changing the consciousness. It's all about putting on the mind of Christ. And in that mind, there is no sickness, weakness, division. And you know what? It's as we talk to one another. I met with this precious couple this week. And they said to me, we all want to sin. And they said, we asked somebody lately, how's the best way to sin? And they said, get with people of a high consciousness and talk. Yes. And talk and share. Because as you share, it's imparting that energy, that deep calling to Eve, and it's raising you up. They had things that I didn't know. They imparted to things that I didn't know that excited me, and I imparted things that we're learning here. And we energized. When I left there, I was just floating. You just energize one another. It's exciting, and I thought that is a good thing. Until you pay your bills to get your car, the price of your belief, your erroneous beliefs. And you get to the point, so you can't pay your car payment. You lose your house. And I've seen that happen to people. It's like it's a downward spiral. And that's what it says in verse 25. This happens, the judgment, then the... And it's like this downward spiral until you're willing to pay the price to release those paradigms, release those belief systems that have kept you in boxes and come up higher. And we're all learning. And that's the beauty of one another. We help one another. I mean, when I fall short, I call somebody and they speak life into me. We can do that for all of us until you think you have to take out a loan and you end up just losing your house. So there's two laws. There's this law of sin and death, which is wrong thinking, death to the life of God, or there's the law of life. And what does it say in Deuteronomy? This day I challenge you to choose life, that you and your children can live. See, you have a choice this day. We are free. Why do we have free will? To be able to repent, change our mind, renew our mind. Every day you have a new day that comes up that you can make a choice. Today I choose life, that I and my children might live. And it says when you choose life, you're blessed going out. You're blessed coming in. You're blessed in the field. You're blessed in the city. Everything is blessed, isn't it? Everything is blessed. That's what I want to tell you what happened with my son. I'm going to tell you what happened with my son. Yeah. His picture, if anybody's interested, last week, his picture's in the hall. Not last week, but at the beginning of this year, you know, he wasn't able to play because of an injury last year. So this year, I said, Anthony, let's do something this year. I want you to vision yourself getting an interception. So he has been visioning it. I've been visioning it, seeing it. So not this week, but last week when I was away, we were at the game, and my daughters were standing next to me, my husband was in back of me, my son-in-laws, we were all there together. And I said to my daughter who's standing next to me, and this is the synchronicity of things, I said, Brooke, if Anthony gets that ball, which way will he run? Because I'm always confused at the game. I just know if he's doing good, but I still don't know what's totally going on. I said, which way will he run? I said, you know, if he gets the ball, and this was the end of the third quarter, wasn't it, Narita? I think it was the end of the third quarter. And I mean, that moment, I said, which way would he run? I'm telling you, I turned like this, and in 1 second, that kid was up in the ball, and the ball was in his hand. And he ran, and he said, Mom, I talked to him afterwards. And first of all, he said, Mom, did you see that picture? You have to go see it. It almost looks supernatural. I felt like I was just being pulled up. And then he said, Mom, that's exactly where I visioned it, right in front of the parents section. I wanted you to see it. If that's not power, but that's not about football. That's about life. That my child's going to be able to use that power in greater and greater dimensions because he's experienced it. The thing that he's been seeing for, and he didn't get it the first game, and he didn't get this. I said, don't quit. Keep visioning it. You're going to get it. And I started talking to my daughters. And you know what? They said, I just saw that in my mind, Mom. I just saw that in my mind. And they aren't right exactly where we are, but they saw that from their mind. They took from an invisible realm, and they brought that into this realm, and they manifested. We all did it together. You don't think you're powerful? I've experienced it. That, I'm telling you, that touchdown was brought in from an invisible realm and manifested in this realm. That's the power you have. You see, our life, every experience you have to take that experience and embrace it and see the bigger picture of what you're being shown. Now I believe it. You know, now I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen next to him, but something bigger is going to happen. Because I don't want anybody, you know what it says, tell no man? I don't want anybody to discount what we're visioning because it's powerful. But I've seen it. You're powerful. What you vision, you can manifest. You have that power. And that's where we are right now, to see peace and love and all of those things. So sometimes I declare, sometimes when I'm thinking, you know, less than, that's why I like these affirmations. Take them with you sometimes. Sometimes in the car when I'm thinking negative, I say the image of limitation have no power over me. How do we get those thoughts that are low energy? We consume them with the mind of God. Now what would the mind of God say? Limitation has no place within me. You know, sometimes I say, I am well because the power of God flows through me. I am well, I am energetic, I am strong, and the power of God, and you know what? I do have energy. You do and you are what you believe, and we're understanding that in a greater dimension. So that is what I want to talk about today. I know, I just want to stretch you to see that that infinite realm out there is your creative power, because God took those things that you couldn't see and he created everything in this realm that you can see, and you can do it too. Yes. Because you are creator of your life and you are creator on planet Earth. Let your life so shine, your light so shine, that manifestation of the power within you so shine that it glorifies your Father in heaven. And so it is. Amen. Don't you love it?
Yes.
Woo! I just love it. Love it. Anybody want to say anything? Mike, are you getting up to talk?